Let's turn to Psalms 121. Psalms 121. Father, open their eyes. Open our eyes to see this portion of scripture. Your love, your concern. People who loves you. And we are your people. Proclaim this truth, God, to your people to understand how you care, how you love, how you are with them. In Jesus' name, I pray. Psalms 121. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which make heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. You know, it's so beautiful. When you read this portion of scripture, I was reading last week and I saw this portion of scripture and I was so encouraged by this portion of scripture for those that are people of God. This is what God says. Okay, I'm going to title my sharing this morning, Look to the Hills. Look to the hills, and it is in Psalms 121. David Livingstone had always been associated with Psalms 121. Okay, a lot of Bible commentators, a lot of people that talk about David Livingstone, they will always mention Psalms 121. David Livingstone is listed in the galleries of missionary pioneers. In those times, okay, nobody were missionaries, especially in the Far East. Okay, it started with William Carey that went to India. Then it goes on to Adoniram Jackson that went to Burma. Then we have Hudson Taylor that goes to China. Today, there are at least 50 million Christians in China because of Hudson Taylor. Then we have David Livingstone to Africa. It is said that David Livingstone was a seeker of 1,000 villages where no missionary has ever been. David Livingstone, the famous missionary and explorer of the continent of Africa, read Psalms 121 before he set out for Africa in 1840. During that time, nobody thought of foreign mission. But in 1840, he set off for Africa. He was a Scottish physician, a doctor by profession, single. And before he set off, he praised God for his sovereign rule over all things as he worshipped with his father and sister, reading Psalms 121. In 1844, four years later, barely 4 years into the ministry in Africa, he never tired of telling this same old story because he witnessed the hand of God protecting him as Yahweh protected Daniel in the lion's den. He told this story. He said that the village of Mabosa was troubled by lions when Livingstone arrived. The lions killed so many cattle in the village, and Livingstone encouraged the villagers to join him in hunting the lions. Then they came upon this pride of lions resting upon the rock. Livingstone would take his gun. Those times it was shotgun. Okay, he would take his gun and he would load two shots upon these male giant lions, and he shot him. And the villagers cried, "He shot! The lion is shot!" The villagers cried. But when Livingstone was trying to reload the rifle, he saw the lion's tail erected in anger. The lion sprang upon him. The beast sprang upon him. His mouth was upon Livingstone's shoulder, and he shoot Livingstone as a terrier dog shoot a rat. Like my Rottweiler, okay? When she catch a cat, caught a cat, she will grab the cat and just... That's what the lion did to David Livingstone. But when Livingstone was reloading, the lion sprang upon him. The grip on his shoulder caused a shot of dreaminess. Okay, a shot of dreaminess, but no pain or feeling of terror. He doesn't feel pain. He doesn't feel terrified at all. An elderly convert, recently converted by David Livingstone in the area, snatched a rifle from another person and shot at the lion, but he misfired. He misfired. The lion was angry, charged at the guy, at the native guy, and jumped upon him. As the lion sank its teeth upon the shoulder of this native, suddenly life drained out from the lion's eyes, and he dropped to the ground, to the floor, dead. The attack left David Livingstone in shock, but no pain or terror, and he quickly recovered. He quickly recovered his composure. The Mohawk family, a Scottish family living in the area, the vicinity, they celebrated the occasion because the lion was like a virus that ate away all their cattle. Though the attack lasted for a few moments, it had lasting consequences. When David Livingstone was recovering in the Scottish family, the Moffat's family, he proposed to Mary Moffat, who became his wife in Africa. Throughout the years that followed, his mother-in-law, Mrs. Moffat, would repeat petitions and ask for favor, divine power, to enable Livingstone to fulfill the many challenges and hardship he had encountered in Africa. She became his prayer partner. His mother-in-law would say this, that Psalms 121 was always in her mind when she thought about and prayed for him. David Livingstone went to Africa with this promise, Psalms 121. And Psalms 121 was always with him, and someone prayed for him throughout his life in Africa. The preceding Psalms, Psalms 120, okay, was one of complaint. But Psalms 121 was, the present Psalm was one of comfort. You can say that it is a song. You can say that it is a song. We can say that Psalms 121 was sang by a singer. The singer of this Psalm, he looked to the hill, which is the title of my sharing. He looked to the hills or the mountains. Okay, in many, many translations, it's used as the mountains. Likely the distant hills in Jerusalem as he traveled towards that city to fulfill his pilgrimage. The singer was still very far from the city, the appointed place of worship. But he lifted up his eyes towards the distant mountain, representing, in a way, heaven. He's not far from Jehovah, however, even though he hasn't reached the mountains yet. In God's keeping, even though far from the center of worship, even far from the hills, the worship center, the pilgrims realize that his life is one of safety. And I'll tell all of you, your life is one of safety. If you are really a child of God, your life is one of safety. The singers understood that he need not arrive at Jerusalem. Again, it represents heaven. Before they come under God's protection. You don't have to go to heaven, then you have God's protection. Because God will watch over you in your journey of life. God is just as present in your present journey of life as he will be in the destination of heaven one day. Psalms 121 is a very short psalm, 8 verses only. 8 verses should be read in one setting. In Psalms 121, all the verbs are imperfect. What do you mean by imperfect? It means they denote ongoing and continual divine care and protection. It's not just a one-time divine care and protection. It's an ongoing divine care and protection. Nikki Gumpao testified there was a once event that he encountered Jesus Christ for the first time in 1974. But he said the implication and the effect of that once event helped him to experience God's love and care and change Nikki Gumpao's course of history. How about you? Did you experience that once event where you have Christ into your life? And since that time, you experience God's divine care and protection throughout life, even until today. As I look at these Psalms, and as I look at all the verses, I look at my own life. I cannot say anything, but there was definitely the ongoing divine care and protection of God upon my life. And this psalmist is declaring that God, Yahweh, is the keeper, the help, the blesser, the protector, and the guardian of him. And that is what is God saying to you today. When I read Psalms 121, I realize that it is speaking to me and for you. What I'm trying to say is that God is your keeper. God is your help. God is the blesser. God is your protector. And God is the guardian of your life. I want to share this sharing into four parts. Okay, I'll divide my sharing into four parts. Number one, a detailed exposition of the whole Psalms. Okay, verse 1 says that, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. This is an imagery denoting how a person look. I will lift up my eyes. How a person look to Yahweh and trust Him. How you should look to Yahweh and trust Him. To the mountains. It denotes creation. I'll look up to the mountain. I look up to creation. Who reminds us of God? You know, the John Webb Space Telescope that has been launched. They say that they need to find the origin of life, and it's 13.8 trillion light years away. 1 light year is one. The speed of light, okay, 13.8 billion light years away. And they discovered that there's no origin, and they say that actually there's no time. Very scary. In heaven, there's no such thing as time. And they say there's no time. As they try to probe deeper and deeper, they say there's no time. As you look up to the mountain, as you look up to the creation, you realize that there is a God. And you look up to the temple of Mount Moriah. The mountain denotes the temple of Mount Moriah, or it denotes for us Evangel Tabernacle. When you look up to the church, when you look up to the temple, the mountain denotes strength, imagery of strength, stability, and longevity. There is God. Strength, stability, and longevity. Mountains are the foundation that holds the whole earth together. The mountains are deeply rooted onto the sea, and it holds the whole earth together. They have been in existence since creation. They project images of forte, stability, permanency, and durability. That is God. That is God. Protection. The mountain denotes protection. And the mountains of God is contrasted to the Baal worship done on the high places. Some people look to the fertility God, the Baal worship, but the faithful followers look to Yahweh alone. The mountain denotes heaven. So he's talking about you looking towards all these things. And Yahweh is always associated with several mountains. Mount Moriah, the site of Solomon's temple. Yahweh is associated with Evangel Tabernacle. Like last Friday, we felt the presence of God. God is everywhere. But God is especially in the temple of God or the church. Mount Nebo, where God took Moses' life after showing him the promised land. The promised land. You will die one day, and God will make sure He takes care of your body. You may become ashes, but your God will take your body and one day will make it whole again. That is the mountain. Mount Sinai or Mount Horeb, the place of Yahweh giving the law of Moses, and the mountains in the north. In the ancient Near East, the gods were always associated with mountains because mountains talks about the heights, talks about the grandeurs, talks about the permanence, talks about their protection. So these Psalms started off by confessing that Yahweh is his God. And he looks to Yahweh and not like the people of this world who looks to Baal worship. A representation of the gods of this world. Other gods besides Yahweh. Baal worship today means, you know what's a Baal worship? What's the representation of Baal worship? A lot of people gather together, often on a high hill, the stadium, the theater, a large public ground for festivities, to dance, and later to indulge in sex, public sex. It also represents the whole community, which is the world's community, that came out because of their success in crops and fertility. They justify their worldliness. That is Baal worship. Because of their crops and facility, success in what they are doing, they justify their worldliness. It said that Taylor Smith became a billionaire because of the ERA tour. In Singapore, it was said that the whole country talked nothing but Taylor Smith, including my prime minister, including the ministry of this and ministry. Everybody talked nothing about except Taylor Smith. And the minister will even go and attend. It is said that 350,000 people attended the conference, the tour, the concert. It is said that. And it said that the economy, GDP, earned $500 million as a result of that. Well, I tell you, when you look at the people are in crowd, they are singing, they are dancing, they wear all kinds of costume. This is what the world are doing now. They look to that. But the psalmist here say, I choose and lift up my eyes onto the mountains to God. Say, I choose to look to my God. Why? From whence it comes my help. Verse 1 say that. From whence it comes my help. It is obvious that the help is not a physical mountain, but the God of creation and the covenant-making God. The psalmist says in verse 2, I look up to the hills who maketh the heaven and the earth. It represents omnipotent in verse 2. This refers to the physical creation of this planet. Here, Yahweh is considered creator, which I said just now to you, sustainer of an individual as well as a corporate body like the church. God don't just sustain a person in this church. God sustained the whole body of Christ in this church. And God will watch unceasingly the whole people of Israel and for the whole people of the body of Christ. The promise is not for every community, but the promise is for the people of God. The promise is for the community of God's people. A vigilant observer. He doesn't sleep nor slumber. The word slumber was mentioned twice. God doesn't go to sleep when you are in trouble. And he is a shade. A shade is a shadow, a metaphor of protection and care. Perpetual keeping of your life. That is verse 2. Then verse 3 says this. He will not allow your foot to slip. You know, you walk. He will not allow your foot to slip. This is a common Hebrew imagery which speaks of a godly life as a clear, straight, level road path. You've decided to follow God. You've decided to walk the godly life. And the godly life is clear, straight, level path. God will not allow you to slip. God will not allow you to slip. And you so speak of evil as a deviation from the clearly marked path of God, or stumbling of the path. God will not allow you to stumble, even there is evil that is around. I don't know, maybe you're experiencing evil around. God will not allow you to stumble. Even if you stumble, the Bible says, the righteous man falls 7 times, but God will pick him up. I remember, I let loose my dog, and the new female just charged on my leg, and I just, pum, and hit my head. And I'm not young. And there was a steps, and I fell in such a way that I did not hit the steps. I just went there, but nothing happened to me. He will not allow your foot to slip. He will not allow. So you must understand where you stand as a child of God. Verse 4 says, he who keep you. The word keep is mentioned at least 6 times. Verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, verse 7 twice, and verse 8. The root word keep is there. He's saying that I will keep you, I will keep you, I will keep you, I will keep you, I will watch over you, I will keep you. The second part of verse 4 says, he will not slumber, he will not sleep. God is always looking at his creation. God is always looking at his people. He's so different from Baal. The worship of the people, of these peoples, the God of this world. You thank God that your God is Jesus. You thank God that you know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You really thank God. Out of a billions, God has chosen you. Because you are in the right path. I know I offend a lot of other people, but all other religion are not God. Because their founder did not die and did not rise up. Jesus died and rise up. That is what exactly they were. These gods will sleep and slumber. This is what Elijah said in 1 Kings 18:26-27 concerning those Baal worshippers, the people that worships the different gods of this world. And he said, and they took the bull that was given them, and they prepared it, and called upon the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, Baal, oh Baal, answer us. But there was no voice, and no one answered. And they limped around the altar, and they make that had made. And at noon, Elijah mocked them, saying, oh, cry louder, for he's God. Either he's musing, he's having some fun somewhere, or he's relieving himself, he's going to the sea aisle, or he is on a journey. He has gone to a journey, he's not back yet. Or perhaps he's asleep, he's asleep and must be awakened. You know, the worshipper of Baals of this world, the people of this world, they worship other gods. They put on a performance. They put on performance. They are fanatics with a lot of emotion to the point of hysteria. But you will come to nothing. And you will receive nothing. And the end of it all, you will be empty. Our God is different. Our God is different. In His time, He does act for us. He does act for us. You know, last Sunday after I finished sharing the Word of God, I just felt very, very down. I cannot explain it. I felt very, very down. And I felt that things are not fine. Felt that God is not with me. Maybe I've done something and God is not favoring me anymore. Then last Thursday, there was a rain. And I remember last Sunday, God prompted me to pray for rain this week. Can you remember? Pray for rain this week. And the rain came. And the rain came, and God said, I'm with you. I know that there's coming rain, and I prompted you to pray. And this thing shows me that, yeah, sometimes you wonder whether God is there or not. God is saying that, I'm there. I'm there. I hear. I may not appear to you physically, but I'm always there. In His time, He does act for us as an individual and as a corporate body. And in verse 4, Yahweh repeated this same truth in a corporate sense. God has a plan for Israel. God has a plan for evangel. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. Don't say God has no plan. God has a plan for your life. You are not worthless. Your parents may belittle you. Your parents may think you are worthless, but you are not worthless in the eyes of God. Verse 6 says, the sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. This is an imagery for military attack. Right now, it's still going on. 100 drones has started flying from Iran to Israel. It will take a few hours to land in Israel. Missiles, ballistic missiles and cruise missiles are flying from Iran to Israel to attack Israel. Right now, as I'm speaking to you, let me tell you, God will discomfit all of them because God is with them. He talked about demonic attack. Sometimes we went through demonic attack in our life. Yes, there will be military attack. There will be demonic attack. You know, the Bible says, the suns by day and the moon by night. You know what's the meaning? Daily. Daily. The sun represents the heat of the daily life. And the moon represents the moment of darkness in our life. I mean, today we have heat. It is said that it is more dangerous. A lot of children, that's why your mayor closed down schools. They say that the heat can, the worst part is the heat to hit the back of your head. It can cause death. The heat of the day. Don't say the heat is nothing. But it's talking about the heat of life. The attacks of life. The sun will not smite you by day. And the moon by night. You may experience darkness and blindness for a time. But the psalmist said that both will not hurt us. Verse 7 says, God will protect you and keep you from all evil. He didn't say God will protect you and keep you from evil, but God will protect you and keep you from all evil. It's surely possible that this phrase is a Hebrew idiom for all problems. All problems. He will keep your soul. I don't know what you're going through. I really don't know what you're going through. Maybe things are not fine. You are troubled. You have a troubled mind. You have a troubled life. But I want to tell you something. God will keep you. God will keep you. He will keep your soul. It's a wonderful promise. We are not alone. And our life has a purpose. The psalmist ends with verse 8. The Lord will guide your going out and your coming in. From this time forth and forevermore. The Lord will guide your going in, your coming out. From this time forth and forevermore. Going out and coming in is use of going out to the field for work. Going to your place of work, going to your call center, going to your business, and not only to the field of work, for carrying out of duties as a person. You are carrying out duties, housewife. You are carrying out duties as a person. And the coming in and the going of life in general. You're going in and you're coming out of life in general. God said He will guide your going in and your coming out. It's imagery of daily life. Psalms 121 is so beautiful. It's so beautiful. It should encourage you about who your God is. It has an element of eternity, verse 8, forevermore. He will guide you. But in the afterlife, it will have the same benefit as the present life. He will guide you forevermore. In the afterlife. Second part of the sharing. God will guard and protect you. God will guard and protect you. If you read Psalms 121 in the Good News Bible, the title is The Lord Our Protector. The word protector or protect is repeated 5 times in just 8 verses. God is your protector, God is your protector, God is your protector, God is your protector, God is your protector. Where is the first place you look to when you are in trouble? No, I'm asking you right now. When you are in trouble, where's the first place you look to? And you do not know what to do. What's the first thing you do? Do you look to friends, families, or the medical profession? There's nothing wrong to look for all this for help in all this direction. Okay, but you should appreciate the portion of scripture if we consider the greatness of our needs. Okay? Sometimes it is the greatness of your needs that prevent you from looking for these people for help. We have sometimes the future to face. We have to confront the future. There are certainties, there are duties, there are difficulties, there are vexation, there are trials, there are temptation, there are opportunities, and there are also uncertainties of life. Sometimes bring overwhelming sorrow, and sometimes very sore perplexity, and even the last experience of death. Then there is the insufficiency of human help. We look to our kindred, to our family, to our friends for sympathy, to succor you. And many a time, they, instead of succoring you, helping you, they criticize you, they give you trouble. They hurt you, they harm you. Because you're insignificant in their life. You're insignificant in their life. And also, they not remain with you all the way. They will die. Parents will die. Brothers will die. Sisters will be scattered everywhere. Far and wide. Friends will become estranged. Friends, you can be best of friends today, the next day you are no more friends. Let's be very honest. So you want to look to this thing? The insufficiency of human help. They cannot render us the help we need. What I'm trying to tell you is that, brothers and sisters, if you are in this category that I'm talking about, why don't you look to God? Give God a chance. Whisper a prayer. Call upon God today. Give Him a chance to come in and help you. Whatever your difficulties is. I've been a Christian for 43 to 45 years. Thousands of times I will cry for help. And thousands of times, what will come in and help? The psalmist understands this truth. You know, John and Jen, okay, we thank God for them. We are so happy that they're going to church. But I just tell you frankly, okay, Pastor Lily and me, we don't depend on them for our future. I'll be very honest with you. We don't depend on them for our future. We will stay in our own house. Because it can disappoint. It can disappoint. It can disappoint. I'm not saying that they disappoint us already. But it can disappoint. So what you do? You look to God. The psalmist understood this truth. And the first thing the psalmist do is upward. Our life can be filled with regret, fear, and worry. Okay, sometimes we have regrets in life. We have fears around. Worry comes in. But faith looks up. From whence comes your help? I'm not talking about one-time situation, okay? I'm talking about ongoing process of divine care and help in your life. God doesn't help you just once. God helps you ongoing with His divine care and protection. The promise of this psalm that the Lord will protect you from the ultimate harm. The foundation of this God's infinite goodness. How can we say, God, why is God like that to us? Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. The standing of the believer in Jesus is impressive. We stand in grace. God's riches in at Christ's expense. We all need grace because of our failure. We all need second chance. We all need grace. We stand in the gospel because we are linked to the salvation. We stand in courage. We stand in strength. We stand in faith. We stand in Christian liberty. We stand in Christian unity. We stand in the Lord. And the goal is that we stand and perfect and complete in the will of God. In the will of God. I translate verse 3 to 8 in this way. He will not suffer your foot to be moved. Your keeper will not slumber. Behold, neither slumbered nor sleep the keeper of Israel. Jehovah is your keeper. Jehovah is thy shade upon the right hand. The sun shall not smite you by day, the moon by night. The Lord shall keep you from all evil. He shall keep your soul. Jehovah shall keep your going out and your coming in from henceforth and forevermore. So number three, look exclusively to the hills. Look to the hills. From whence comes your help? We are in a spiritual journey. We are all in a journey of life. We are traveling through this world as a pilgrim, and our true home is in heaven. We are aliens and we are strangers, passing by this world on the way to our final destination in glory. But when we are here, the demands placed upon us are enormous, requiring extraordinary strength and to remain true and faithful to God. As we traverse this planet, this earth, we face many spiritual obstacles, many adversaries. To be sure, the Christian life is an uphill climb, the ascent to the higher ground. Only by the grace of God do you find strength to press on faithfully to the upward prize. How you find the supernatural strength? First, you look exclusively to God. This is what precisely the psalmist did. I want you to look exclusively to God. Maker of heaven and earth, don't look at yourself. Don't look at others for strength. Rely on God as a source of spiritual power in Christian living. Faith looks at God. Faith doesn't look to man. Second, listen attentively to the word, to the Lord. God's word is an all-sufficient. You know, I was going through there, I saw these Psalms. God's word, these Psalms, is an all-sufficient source of divine grace for your pilgrims, your journey in life. Just in Psalms 131, it's an unlimited reservoir and undeniable spiritual energy for those who will receive this truth. Only by looking into this scripture in Psalms 121 can we truly look to the Lord who has spoken to us. If we are to know God's strength, we must hear and heed His word. Then thirdly, lean wholly upon the Lord. We must rely upon the superabundant grace of God's Spirit in every demands of life. It's not hopeless for your situation. Your situation is not hopeless. You just need to go to God. You just need to go to God right now. You just need to call upon God right now. It's not hopeless. And God is saying that it's not hopeless. And God come to you with Psalms 131 and say that, I will help you. Let us learn to cast your burden, your situation, your problem, and lean upon Him. Number four, when the going gets tough. Okay, we all go through tough times. Okay? Life is fragile. Let's be very honest. Life is very fragile. The ground can quake. You know, recently in Taiwan, they got a 7.4 Richter scale. Am I correct? 7.4. It is the worst in 25 years of Taiwan history. And they hit this place called the Taroko National Park. And you basically, we were there. We have to traverse the mountain. They are all mountain, and we have to cross the road on the mountain. The Hunter's Trail. We have to cross. And 600 people were stranded there. And the YouTube showed that place. There was a shed, and there was all the pillars. And you walk there and you see the rivers, you see, and they were all trapped there. And Pastor Lily and I were there in December last year. Exactly the same place. And they said that all the hotels in Taroko suffered badly because many of the hotels were damaged. And we stayed in some of the hotels there. We stayed in some of the hotels there. And we were there. And Daryl and Jen, you know, Daryl is likes to hide. So he wants to hike this Taroko National Park. And he went hiking. I thank God it was in December last year. A Singaporean couple, until today, 8 days has passed, is still missing. Definitely, they have died. Definitely, they have died. They are trying to trace where they walk, where they get off the bus, what is your trail, and they are trying to trail is get all the dogs to sniff out them, but couldn't find them. 8 days has passed. There are troubles. Let's be very honest. Okay, I'm not saying there's no trouble. Okay, I'm not saying that your trouble is not real. Please. I'm not saying that your trials of life is not difficult, not heavy. I'm not saying that your life as a call center is very easy. I'm not saying that your life as a teacher, your life as this, as that is very easy. No, I'm not saying that. They are real. They are real. I mean, Genesis already said that by toil and tear, you will have to work and work to earn your food. That's one of the curse. It's one of our curses. Evil stalks us. Evil stalks us. And death stands before us. I remember I love to drive very fast, very fast. I remember two incidents. I was going very fast to show off my 4x4. Then the road was not asphalt, the road was made of sand. And this motorbike, he just come out with the daughter behind. I'm not going to ram him, I swerve. And as I swerve, the wheel couldn't hold the slipperiness of the gravels and the sand. And I just go like that, and I went into the drain. And the window shield cracked, but nothing happened to me. Then I remember another incident. I was driving very fast from Libertad because I want to bring everybody back. My daughter and some of the young people were behind the car, and I was going so fast. And it was dark, you know, there's no light in the day, in the night, and I was going so fast. And I thank God that there was this pastor said, "Pastor, there's something in front." He saw it faster, and I jammed the brake, and I was about to hit the bridge. I'm not saying what I did is right, okay? But I only see the grace of God protected me. God will protect you. God will protect you because you are a child of God. Are you a child of God? That's the only thing. Are you really a child of God? You know, y'all raised 80,000 for Pastor Sheila to assist her in the cancer treatment. Then Pastor Chuan just called me. Just last week, I just want to tell you that one of the church planters, I know they went to ACME, they went to Bible school in here in Ilo City. His name is Renal Rocinario, and he likes a girl called Rosanica that is from Dao and Tiki. And he married her, and he went to Oslo, Cebu. And he wanted to build a church, and finally he managed to build this physical church that is assisted by the Australian group. But Pastor Shaw said, he passed away, he died. He died of sickness. And he left behind his wife and 4 children. And they are not very old. I think they are in their 40s. But the wife say, he has gone to a better place. He has fought a good fight. He has finished the race. And is ready to meet the Lord. The road to freedom is not to deny the ultimate threat of death. No. Pastor Lee said, the important thing is that he is in heaven. But to know that God has conquered death. God has conquered death. Does this mean that no adversity will come to the Christian? Does this mean that I have no adversity? No. If you think that no adversity will come to you, that means you read the verses out of context. And you come to the wrong conclusion. The fact is, however, the psalmist have already seen his need for help in verse 1. He knows the difficulties, and in it he cried to God for intervention. God does not promise you will never have trouble. He does promise to be with us in all our troubles. God has been with us
these 38 years as a church has been with us. Nothing will touch our soul and separate us from His love. God will guide you. God will guide you. I conclude. We are often like the psalmist in 120. We complain. But we are not like Psalms 121. We don't look to the hills. We don't look to the hills. We don't look to God. Many a times we don't believe God and doubt God. And we have doubt in our mind. When the going gets tough, we don't believe that God is with us. Like God got to cause the rain to tell me that He is with me. We don't think that God is with us and God will help us. And many a time we think that God is deaf. He's sleeping, He's slumbering. So we take things into our own hand. And God is unable to help you. We live in darkness and we worship the gods of this world as our substitution. But the substitution will not help you. You go into your Baal worship, they will not help you. You know, he said that in America, the rise in suicide this year is so astronomical. Why did they commit suicide? Because they take things in their own hand and they find that there's no meaning and purpose and there's no one to help them. We come out empty, lost, and felt meaningless in everything. God knew this. And He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who came when the world was in 400 years of darkness. 400 years of darkness. He came and shined His light into our soul. He went to the cross to experience darkness literally. The Bible says the sun was in darkness. There was darkness over Golgotha. Then He died. As if all our hopes is lost. If Christ is dead, our hope is lost. I'm telling you, if Christ is dead, our hope is all lost. Our faith is all lost. When Christ died, it's as if all our hopes is lost forever. Even as Christian, many times we think that way. But He did not go to the grave. He did not stay in the grave. He was resurrected. So that there is resurrection of life. You are hopeless when He resurrects. He gives you hope. And He knows when is the right time to encourage you and help you in your life. He gives you hope for the future. You are not alone. You are not alone. Say to the devil, you are a liar. You are a liar. I don't let people define me. I don't let my family, my parents define me. I let God define me. I let God define me. I don't let my pastor define me. I let God define me. When Christ was resurrected, He came to give you resurrection of life. He comes to give you hope for the future. He comes to you, give you power to go about life. He said, do not believe the lies of the Baal worshippers. Rather, know that you will be an overcomer in life. You just have to look to the hills, which is Jesus Christ crucified on the hills at Golgotha. Look to the hills. He's alive. He's risen. And He will empower you to be alive. Spiritually, physically, health-wise, and to live victoriously with joy and purpose. Because He has conquered death, which is the last and the greatest trial. He will not leave your soul in hell. He will not, like He guide Moses' body, God will guide your body. God knows where is Moses' body. God knows where is your body, even it turned to ashes. And He will bring it back and bring you to be with Him forever and evermore. The beauty of Psalms 121. The beauty of Psalms 121. This is what being a child of God is like. This is what God is like to each and every one of us. Don't let anybody define you. Don't be discouraged. at your deepest, at your lowest moment, like it was my low moment last Sunday. I don't know why, just a down spirit. That moment, God just, I am with you. I am with you. If you learn to put your trust in God, you will not be disappointed. But you have to put your whole trust in God and you experience the resurrection of life. Shall we pray? Shall we pray? Every eyes closed. Brothers and sisters, I read to you. You be that person. I will lift up my eyes onto the hill from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, which makes heaven and earth. He will not suffer your foot to be moved. He that keepeth you will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel, you shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun will not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. You say, God, forgive me of my unbelief. You have something that you're going through. I want you to present it to God at the altar. And I want you to look at these psalms and I want you to say, God, I believe everything they have said. And then receive these psalms into my life. Shall we all stand up? Shall we all stand up? As we sing,